Colossians chapter 3 today. Colossians chapter 3. Great book of Colossians. A lot of wonderful instruction there. And it starts out with, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's a blessing. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And there's great teaching here. But we're going to look at verse 8. And we'll do a little bit of reading here. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And we'll start in verse 8. I'll wait till you get there. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That makes sense, doesn't it? Amen. You're a Christian. The Bible says in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body. And then it says, and be ye thankful. And we're thankful that we don't have to live the old life. We can live the new life, and we can have peace in our hearts. We'll see what God has for us today. Let's pray. Our Father, we are privileged to open your word now, to speak it, to hear it, and I pray, God, that we would obey it. Give us peace in our heart today. Make us thankful, content, and just so grateful for all you've done for us. May that be our theme today. May it be the theme of our life, Lord. And we pray that you'd be honored by that. Help us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I mentioned earlier, I've been thanking God for everybody I see. I just wanted to come to church like that. And everybody I've looked at and everybody I've talked to, even ones I haven't talked to, I'm thankful for you. And I think God has blessed you and he's blessed me and brought us all together. But there's a lot to be thankful for today. And there's a verse in the Bible. That's what you say when you don't know the book or the chapter. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, and remembrance of you. I always rejoice in God just remembering you. And so I appreciate you. I know as I leave the church every Sunday, I try and ask those who are doing the finances, or try and say to them, thank you for what you do. And we thank Lynn for making coffee. That's probably the biggest job in the church. That's the most important thing going on here. But anyway, we're thankful. I'm thankful for the Bible. Amen. You're not spoiled by philosophy, vain deceit, all the rudiments of men. But I found something the other day in one of my books, and it's science confirms the Bible. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but it shows the Bible, science now, and science then. All of these things I'm going to say now, science goes along with us, but they never used to. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, oppositions of science, falsely so called. And science many times opposes the Word of God. But here's one in Isaiah 40:22, the earth is a sphere. Well, science believes that now, amen, but they used to believe it was flat. Remember in 1492, Columbus went off the edge of the world, you know, and but people were afraid to sail. There's an incalculable number of stars, Jeremiah 33:22. Back in the day, they only thought there were 1,100 stars, but it's incalculable, and the Bible says that. Job 26:7, the free float of the earth in space, it just hangs on nothing. And there was a day that the scientists of the day believed that there were animals holding up the earth. There were four elephants. I've read about these things. And then they made Atlas. Remember Atlas? He had the, well, he was holding the world. Boy, that's easy to believe, isn't it? You know, you get a picture of that in your mind. Each star is different. 1 Corinthians 15:41. They thought all stars were made the same. Winds blow in cyclones. Ecclesiastes 1:6. They thought it was just straight. There's so many things there. If you're interested in that, I can leave this up here and you can make a copy. There's a whole number of things about that. But I'm thankful that we have the truth. And whether something hasn't come to pass yet, we know it's going to, because the Bible is that reliable. I'm thankful for the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Anything with of God, I'm thankful for. Amen. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And we'll see that as we go through the scriptures. There's a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, and it's talking about the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And then it says unthankful and unholy. And when you look at the context of that, man, it's a bad context. All of those things that are mentioned there are terrible. And unthankful is one of them. And it's a trait in the last days. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, God says, love ye your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I'm thankful he's kind to the unthankful. I have not always been thankful, but God's always been kind. Amen? And that's an important thing. But being thankful is such a wonderful emotion. Being unthankful is a terrible emotion. Loving is great. Amen? But when you hate, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And we are emotional creatures. And so God tells us which emotions will be a blessing. Amen? Whatsoever things are good and pure and honest and holy, think on these things, because as you think in your heart, so are you. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you know the verses. But I want the emotions that God wants me to have. Trust. Amen? He wants me to be merciful like he's been merciful to me. He wants me to forgive as he has forgiven me. So he is kind to the unthankful. So be thankful if you can be kind to the unthankful. Amen? Because that's a blessing. That's an attitude, a spirit of God. Somebody said, I complained I had no shoes until I met a man that had no feet. And isn't that the truth? You know, we are really blessed in so many ways. Well, I want to check our spiritual temperature today, because you can be sick by being unthankful. You really can. There can be a physical sickness, an emotional sickness, and a spiritual sickness by being unthankful. It's a wonderful emotion to be thankful. Our Lord is a great physician, and there's a verse in the Old Testament. It says, is there no balm in Gilead? In other words, where's the healing balm? And it says, because God was the balm, but yet the people didn't apply it, and so they stayed sick. In Proverbs 17:22, these are very familiar verses, but they're worthy to be looked at and applied. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so God says, my son, give me your heart, and then he'll give us a new heart. And there's so many verses about that, but the rest of the verse is, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless, the old-time preacher said. And that is so true from the scripture. There's a time in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I guess I won't go back there and read all of that. But when Thanksgiving comes around, people are supposed to be thankful. Amen? That's the whole purpose of the holiday. It's Thanksgiving. Amen. Yeah, but yeah, you know. And there's all kinds of reasons that people think not to be thankful. In Psalm 100, verse 4, where our chorus came from, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. So there's that spirit of thanksgiving. And we're entering into his courts. I know that can be spiritually applied, but literally, we're in church today. Amen? And we're thankful to be here. Thank God you could come to church. Amen? Thank God the sermon's only going to be 2 hours today. Amen? And amen? Nobody? Okay. Well, anyway, I'm thankful I have 2 hours worth of material to preach. Amen. That's my buddy there. I told you to say that earlier, though. But yeah, timing's off. Psalm 84 and verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. How could he say that? How could the psalmist say that? A day in his courts is better than a thousand days somewhere else. And it says, it goes on, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be right with the Lord, having that spirit, having that love, having that mercy, having that grace, than have all of this in the world, where it's dog eat dog, and it's lust and it's envy, and all the things that choke the Word of God and make it unfruitful. I'd rather have a salad in my house and have peace than a steak dinner and turmoil and strife. I know I misquoted the Bible a little bit there, but you get the idea. There's a Bible verse that talks about that. You don't have to wait for the turkey. Amen. We don't have to wait for Thursday. We can be thankful because it's time to be thankful. It's time to seek the Lord. Psalm 149:1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise his name in the congregation of the saints. It is good to be in church. Whenever you come to church and it's not good to be in church, something is amiss. Amen? Maybe there's strife. Maybe there's envy. Who knows what it is? But it's a good thing to be in church. God says that over and over and over. And he says, sing and praise the Lord. And when you have that spirit of gratitude, and I have that, and the other brother or sister sitting on the other side of the pew with you, man, it's a blessing. Because we all glorify God together. Well, I have a lot not to be thankful for. Throw that out the window today. We're in church. Amen. We're opening the Bible. We're praising the Lord. And that's something that's so wonderful. One of the songs says, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach God's word? You may come into church. The message you don't think applies. You'd be surprised, though. Somewhere in the message, God's going to focus it. God's going to speak to your heart. And we need to be praying about that. The source, the object of our thanks is God. And you can find no fault in him. Amen? Well, he did this and he didn't allow this and this happened. And God is over all. Amen? He doeth all things well. All things work together for good. All the verses like that. We are thankful to God. And when you're thankful to God, you can't be unthankful for God or to God. Your unthankfulness comes from the world. It comes from sin. It comes from all over the place. And it's to rob us of the glory that's worthy of his name. And that's just a wonderful thing to have. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Be thankful unto him. Take your Bibles and go back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. David, King David, is speaking. And Solomon is going to be the new king, his son Solomon. And he's praying about this and instructing the people about this. And David, in the end of this chapter, dies. And then Solomon becomes king. But I want to read some of this. It's rather lengthy. It's quite a few verses. We won't read the whole chapter, but just enough to get the idea. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, silver, things of silver, etc., etc. Verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And then he describes that. Verse 5, gold for things of gold. And then verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Boy, that's a good thing, isn't it? Because when you're forced to offer or forced to sacrifice for the Lord, there's no joy in that. It's kind of a forced march. it's law, not grace, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. It records that, stones, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I'll stop after next verse, verse 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand we have given thee. God gives us, God blesses us, and he says, now give that back to me. God gives us mercy, and he wants us to be merciful. This isn't just talking about financial. Well, he gave me a good job. We tithe and we give our offerings to the Lord because God has blessed us. Amen? That's why we do it. So God loveth a cheerful giver. We don't give of necessity. We don't give grudgingly. If you give grudgingly or necessity, you've lost the spirit of the whole thing. But we give because we love the Lord. And what do we give? We give our life as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. We just preached on that. All that we give back, it's not to man, it's to God. Love your wives. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is, okay, I'm a child, I'm going to obey my parents. I'm going to do it for God. When we live for God, we can live a joyous, thankful life, even if it costs us, even if there's a great sacrifice, and we'll see that. God doesn't want sacrifice to be a hard thing. He wants it to be a blessing, emotionally, spiritually, so we can do something for our Lord. We thank thee and praise thy glorious name. There's times that we neglect being thankful. Amen? God does something for us, and we just go right on. And we're relieved maybe that he did it, but we don't really give him the thanks that he is worthy of. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's a trait of the heathen, the unbeliever. Think of how good God is to some people, and they don't even know God. Isn't that amazing? He's not punishing them. He's not hurting them. He has his arms of love open. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He would do anything. And think of the people that God has blessed out there. Amen. Well, there's a lot that he hasn't. We're thinking today about something that's going to cause thanksgiving. Those other things will be dealt with. In Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers, and they came before the Lord, and they said, Lord, have mercy on us and heal us. Leprosy. I don't know if you know much about that. I preached on it a number of times, so I studied it. It starts inside. It's a disease, and it comes outside. It eats the limbs off. It'll make you blind. In the Bible, they were lepers, and they were outcasts, and they would have to cover their faces and say, I'm a leper, to keep people away. It was a horrible, horrible disease. It ended in death. They were no longer able to see their family. They were no longer able to live with friends and relatives and other people. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And so they came, and the Lord healed them, didn't he? And there were 10 of them. And the Bible says, and I think it's verse 17, Jesus said, where are the 9? Only one came back to worship him and to thank him. Only one out of 10. Amen? That's a big deal. I thank God if I'm on the freeway or somewhere and you have a close call. You ever have a close call? What do you do after a close call? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen? And you ever been in the hospital and you thought it was worse than it is? I've been there. And you come out of the hospital. I went in for COVID and I could hardly get out of bed. I was in the hospital 4 days and it just was very difficult. And I remember looking out the window and nurses and visitors would be walking to their cars. And I had taken for granted that I could walk outside or go to my car. I was so weak I couldn't drive. I had taken that for granted. And I was saying, God, it'd really be a blessing to be able to walk to my car and drive again. And I remember, and I said, and I won't forget. And so when my wife came to pick me up, of course she drove, but I walked to the car very slowly. But you know what? I haven't thought about that since. Every once in a while it'll pop into my mind. I drove to church today. Amen? I did a good job of driving to church. I won't tell you the speed limit I went, but I came to church, and it was a blessing to drive. And Linda and I prayed before we came, but nothing had to do with get me to church safely. Sometimes we pray that. But isn't it amazing how God does something for you and you forget to thank Him? We could just, that's all we'd do. That's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to praise Him, you know? But it's just a blessing. He said, where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? And one came back. We have in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 15. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. This was in a city that was the enemy was trying to destroy. And by his wisdom, he delivered the city. Yet no man remembered the same poor man. Wisdom is better than strength, and that's what it's talking about, the context there. But that man, that poor man, delivered the whole city, and nobody remembered him. You ever feel forgotten? You know, you do something for somebody and just feel forgotten. He doesn't forget. And if you do something for somebody and you do it for the Lord, He never forgets, and He will reward you. Amen? As much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it also unto me. That's what the Lord said. The neglect of thanksgiving. In Genesis chapter 40, Joseph is in prison. And the butler, the baker, and the candlestick maker. If you know the text, I think I added something to it. But they're in prison, the butler and the baker. And Joseph has a dream, and he tells them the dream. And the chief butler was the one that got out of prison. And just like Joseph had dreamed, the baker was put to death. But it took 2 years before the butler told Pharaoh what had happened. And he apologized for it. But Joseph said, please remember me to Pharaoh. And I thought about that. And you know, two extra years in prison, what would I have felt like? Man, I can't wait to get out of here. Get that guy's throat and say, what did you forget me? But if you'll know the whole story, God was in the whole story. Because it had to be 2 years later. Because God was doing some things on the outside. And here's Joseph, maybe suffering, maybe thinking, boy, this is a terrible thing. But God was working because He's always at work. Amen? Amen. He's always at work. And so we look at what goes on in our life, and sometimes we're not thankful, but God's always, always at work. I like that. The memory of our thanksgiving. Today you have trials, testings, tribulations. So do I. We all have them. And some days are harder than other days. And we'll look at that in a minute. Maybe today is a very difficult day. But you can always go back in your memory to see God. And honor God and praise God for what He's done. Somebody coined the phrase, yesterday He helped me, today He did the same. How long will this continue? Forever praise His name. You know, He does everything right. Amen? Always, always. Let's think of yesterday just a little bit. Not with regret. You have plenty to think of that could lead you down a wrong path. But let's think of the memories that we need to have today. Psalm 77:11. David said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. Boy, that's a good one. And in the same context, he talks about songs in the night. Here's Paul and Silas. Remember, they were singing at midnight, thinking they're going to die, but they were singing. And I would never forget that deliverance. Amen. The earthquake and how their jail cell doors were open and all the things that took place. And the church was established at Philippi. That's a real blessing. It just depends on what you want to remember. Well, I remember the jailer beating me. I remember being in stocks. I remember being, you know, to the point where I thought I was going to die in the morning. Well, why not remember how God delivered? Amen? And the story's not over. I can't wait to get to that. But I got to systematically preach this message. Amen? Amen? Oh, you're not with me today. Okay. Psalm 63:6. David said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Boy, that's a good thing to do. I mean, when you go to bed, you know, his mercies are new every morning, so you can't wait to get up. Amen. But his faithfulness at night. But if you're thinking on your bed about the next day and how difficult it's going to be, you need to remember something about God. That's where the Bible, if you've memorized the Bible, comes in handy. Because you're not going to get up and you're not going to open a Bible, but you can quote verses and you can talk to the Lord, and that will be a great help to you. Remember the day of your salvation. Because of that day, your sins are forgiven. Amen? Because of that day, you can have an eternal home in heaven. Just because you're saved. That's a good thing to remember. Psalm 35:9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. If you're breathing air today, you're facing difficulties. I mean, if we would go right down the rows, we'd start over here. And I want to know all your difficulties. We're going to put it on tape and tell all the world. No, we're not going to do that. Amen? Right, Richard? Amen. But we all have trials and troubles. Everybody here does. And if that's all we think about without thinking about what God has done for us and what he can do for us, it's really debilitating. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We're going to have tribulation. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So we know all those things are going on because it's a sinful world. But there's a phrase in the Bible, and I just want to spend a little bit of time on this. There's a phrase in the Bible that says, this too must come to pass. This is that we're just traveling through. We're strangers and pilgrims. Amen? We got 70 years, maybe 80, maybe 20. Who knows? We don't know when we're going to go, but we know we're just passing through. And let me just give you some examples of this today. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Then is brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is no longer holding on you. Because one day we're going to be eternal. Amen? And no more corruption. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I made a big mistake last night. I mean, it was a big mistake. I'm going to tell you about it. I usually don't share all my mistakes, but this was a big one. I mean, super big one. I can't even tell you how big this. This was a big mistake. I turned the news on. I turned the news on. And maybe 2 minutes. And it's like I came to myself, like the prodigal, you know? And I said, man, I got to turn that off. And I did. Just in that little bit of time, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You don't get good news. It's bad news. Bad news is what sells. You're hearing about somebody in India, and I have nothing against people from India. I have some dear friends. But where he wrecked his car. Who, you know what I mean? Here's the national news saying, yeah, this man in India wrecked his car. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. Amen? And it's this part of the world and that part of the world and this, you know, well, at the fair, the ride broke and people were stranded for an hour on a Ferris wheel. And I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty happy. You know, I'm happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time. And you just get that. But I turn the news on. But here's the point. It says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We don't have much to look forward to here. You know, well, if the election, if this, if that, you know, if somebody starts changing and living godly and they have godly laws. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But it must come to pass. That's prophecy. It has to come to pass. And there's good news after that. How about this one? The spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. And it's only going to work more and more and more to go with the other verses. And one day the Antichrist will be the ruler. But we won't be here for that. Because that must come to pass. How about this one? Sometimes I'm so weak. I'm weak spiritually. I'm weak emotionally. One day, you know what you'll be doing for eternity? Praising God. Well, I don't know if I'm going to like that. Well, help yourself. You know, I'm going to like it. Amen. Rejoice forevermore. I don't think I'm able to bear anything else. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God's faithful, who will not tempt you above that you're able, but will with the temptation make way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen? So all of these trials, all of these tribulations, they are going to be done away with and will be with the Lord forever. That's going to be a blessing. The darker the night, the brighter the light, the better it is. We waste this emotion. I have a dog. I love my dog. Amen? That's a good thing. And you're giving emotion because dogs always love you. They always love you. Sometimes, what Shakespeare say? It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. You say, that wasn't Shakespeare. That was, who knows? I better not go there. But anyway, we have this beautiful gift of thanksgiving. In Luke chapter 18, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the one a publican. Here we are. All of you came up to the temple, the church, to pray and to worship God. Amen. And the publican said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. And God says, I'll be merciful to you because that's what you want. But there was the Pharisee who was very self-righteous. And listen to this verse. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And then he said, God, he's praying with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I'm not as this man. And he named his faults. And then he said over here, but I do this, 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 and this. And God in that little verse says he wasn't praying to me. He was using my name, but he wasn't talking to me. Because he went home and God didn't deal with him. God didn't help him. God didn't forgive him or show him mercy. Amen? He prayed thus with himself. And then he used the name God. God will meet your need. God will help you. God will be there as long as it's a sincere prayer, as long as we call out to him. In Luke chapter 6, verse 32, if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? Sinners love those that love them. The whole context of that is loving your enemy, praying for them that despitefully use you. Amen. And that's what we do for God. Luke 6:33. If ye do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? Do sinners also do the same? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, so is he that layeth treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. David said this. He said, shall I give unto the Lord of that which cost me nothing? He wanted to make a sacrifice. We present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. And we do it with thanksgiving because God gave it to us to give to him. Amen? You can't give what you don't have, right? And if you have the love of God in your heart, which the Holy Spirit gives you, share that love with the world. If God is merciful to you, he says, now you be merciful to them. Amen? But you have to have the mercy to give the mercy. And when you have that, thank God that you have it. Amen? The sacrifice of thanksgiving, Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He is worthy of that. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In the Old Testament, they gave fruit, they gave wheat, they gave barley, they made all of these sacrifices to the Lord. We give the fruit of our lips. We praise him with that. Jeremiah 33:11. Boy, this is a good verse. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of God. And so we praise, we sing. Don't you like to sing? You say, well, I sing off key. Well, so do I. But I'm more pronounced because I have a microphone on mine. But I love to sing because we sing unto the Lord. Amen. We worship him. We praise him. We're thankful to him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Boy, that's a tough verse. But God says that will help you to have a merry heart, and it'll be a medicine to you. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, give your bodies. 2 Corinthians 8, they first gave their own selves. You have all of these verses, and these are wonderful people that love God and sacrifice for him. If you only have regrets and problems and cares of this world on your mind, if you have an if only, amen, then you're going to be unthankful to God. No more personal illustrations. I don't want to give any more. I've got too many of them. But I'm thankful to God today for everything he's doing in my life. Amen. I want to read, and I'll close with this. There's a song, The Love of God, and it's a wonderful, wonderful song. And I'm going to read one verse and then tell you why that verse is before the next verse. The next verse is a response to that verse. See where you're at. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Think of your salvation experience. Just think of it just for a minute. Think of what your life was like. Think of how somebody gave you the gospel. Think about what it did for you. Think about the transformation that's taken place. Think now where your heart's at, because God saved you and giving you an eternal home in heaven. Here's the verse that responds to it. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We can praise him for all eternity and it won't be enough. Amen. Boy, God's been good to us. I pray that you'll find something to remember that you're thankful for. I pray that you'll find something to be thankful for today. Amen. I pray that your spirit would just be lifted up because of God's goodness to you. Not the trial, but God will even be with you in the trial. Amen. And he will work out the trial for his good. I love you. Thankful for each one of you. God bless you, Gary. Isn't it a blessing having Gary in the church? Amen. I mean, I could just go down the rows. But Ida. Ida's just turned 76. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. We appreciate your kindness to us. How the devil wants us to get thinking wrongly. negatively, harmfully. May we remember, may we look for your help. May we anticipate it. May we hope for it. May we praise you. I pray that you bless everyone that hears this message. Bless our church, our people. May we be grateful today for your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.